We finish off in the last year, in the middle of the Perek, where we were discussing how, of course, we're here in this world in Olam Hazeh, really for Olam Haba, and we have the mitzvos here that we are to utilize in order to get there. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically had those as the means in order to get there, and we have to make sure to stay on the right path. The whole nature of the Sefer, Maseil Yesharim, is about being on the right path to this. So he continues. He says, "V'hine achar she'adanu zeh." After we know this, "Navin miyad chomer hamitzvos asher aleinu v'ikar havoda asher b'yadenu." We have to realize the significance, the weightiness of the mitzvos, that and how just how valuable they are in our hands. "Kihine elehim hamtzam hamavim osanu elashlemas hamiti." Because those are the things that actually are able to make us attain our true completion, our fulfillment, our perfection in this world. That we're here, we were discussing the idea last week a little bit of machlokas about like, wait, aren't we here to like help other people? But when it comes to midos, and the whole goal of life is really to perfect oneself. Now, a means of perfecting oneself is to help other people. That is certainly one of the ways and a key component to midos. So he says, Asher biladam lo yisaklal. Like without this, without these mitzvos, we wouldn't be able to attend anything at all. That the mitzvos are what does it for us. And constantly, every single day, we have so many mitzvos at our hand. The Zohar refers to mitzvos, he basically refers to it as like opportunities. It's where you have constant, where there's 613 opportunities, basically. I'm sure you use the word mitzvos also, but like it's basically understood that why are there so many? Because you constantly are able to serve Hashem. It's not just like, meaning imagine in the secular Christian world where like, you know, I'm really frum, I go to shul, I go to church once a week. That's a frum non-Jew, going to church once a week. So, and like, they don't have too many other necessarily mitzvos that they have to keep. So for us, constantly being involved with it, yomam v'layla, and always having to be able to think just 2 days ago, I think 3 days ago, whatever it was, I went to Walgreens and I bought something, mostly because it was on sale, and it looked good. It has to have the combo of being on sale and looking good. And I get home and I'm like, let me actually look at this packaging. And I looked and I realized it wasn't kosher. So thank God I have the receipt, all is good. But constantly have to be thinking, be aware of what's going on. And the mitzvos are the way in our pure attainment to be able to perfect ourselves, to get through those means to get Olam Haba. That we have to know that the tachlis is to use all these mitzvos that we're able to gather, that are available, to use them to reach this goal. And through the means of being able to use them, so then we'll be able to reap basically what comes out of them. V'chol hefresh katan, he says as follows, he warns you, to basically not deviate from this. If you think about it, when it comes to being a good Jew, imagine having a great day, except for dinner, you decided to eat one slice of non-kosher pizza. It looked really good. You couldn't resist. So no one would say that your day was a great day, right? Because you veered off the path. So he says you have to be really careful when it comes to mitzvos, and to be a person who wants to perfect oneself, to not deviate. The chol hefresh katan she'imatzei b'emtzaim. Any small deviation from these means, tibachen toladeto bever vadai be'agiyaz mana tachlis. So its result is going to be apparent. It's going to be clear to you. Be'agiyaz mana tachlis, that when the time of the outcome is reached, hanolad mikibut kulam, that the result from all these things, kamosha gasavni v'zebar. Basically, you have to be aware, like, what the result is going to be, and know in advance, realize, like, don't try to fool the system. Don't try to deviate from it, because a small deviation could actually have a large ramification. Me'ata v'adaihu. From now it's clear. Sha'adiktok she'yiduktak al inyan hamitzos v'avoda. That when it comes to, a lot of times you hear the word diktuk and you think of Hebrew grammar, it takes you back to whatever grade you were in when you think about that. But really diktuk, and the reason is about being very meticulous. And the grammar itself, like every, like chirek or kabatz, like all the details about it. So he says, you have to understand that you have to be exact and precise when it comes to mitzvos and arvuda. Muchrach shiya betachlis hadikta kasher daktiku shokle hazava pninim lerov yakram ki toladusam noledes b'shemus hamiti v'aykar hanitzchi she'en yakar l'malimenu. He says you have to realize and you have to treat it as if you are measuring like gold and jewels. Because when someone were to measure money, when you have to count money, so you're not going to be like, you know, I might be a little off. If you're dealing with gold, if you're dealing with the diamond, I remember when I went with my wife to pick out the engagement ring, so you see all these diamonds, and as the guy, you're thinking like, how much does that cost? And then you see one that's like, oh, she likes one a little bigger, and like, oh my God, that's going to cost me like another X thousand dollars, right? Like every small weight there, whatever the grams, costs a lot of money. So he says, when it comes to mitzvahs, you have to be so precise. You have to weigh everything out. That should be so precise to you as to what you're doing and to make sure to be on that path. Nimtzeinu lemedim, and he's almost like summarizing a certain sense that thus we've learned. Ki ikar mitzias ha'adam v'olam hazeh hu rak l'kai mitzvos v'lavod v'lamod b'nisayon. That the purpose of the world, of Olam Hazeh, is specifically to fulfill the mitzvos, to serve Hashem, and to be able to withstand nisyonos, to withstand tests. As we saw, one of the main themes of the chapter was trying to avoid pitfalls and to be aware that most of the physicality of the world is just trying to get you to not serve Hashem. And there's, you discussed, like a war in front of you and behind you. And he says the whole point of Gashmis, the whole point of physicality in this world, is specifically to utilize it to serve Hashem. So he's not saying there is no point of physicality in the world and it's all there as a test, but he's saying it's all there to serve Hashem. For example, when someone takes a piece of fruit, so you could take the piece of fruit, you could eat a grape, and you could be like, you know, I want that grape, the grape looks delicious, and you just eat it like that. Or it's, you know, wow, look what Hashem created, let me make a bracha, let me uplift the grape, like we spoke about previously, about uplifting the physical, and also then uplifting ourselves, and thinking, you know, I'm eating this to be able to serve Hashem, to be able to have a healthy body. It transforms and changes just the physical components. And separately, that's in terms of the quality of what you're doing, but in terms of the quantity of how much does a person really need? How much does a person have to live in the gashmias of the world to be able to take in so much? And he continues and says, "V'amnam, however, roi lo shetiyeh kol pniyaso rak leboris barach." A person has to have their GPS, has to have their direction only towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shlo yelo shum tachlis acher b'chol ma'aseh shi'aseh im katan v'im gadol. El liskare v'lav yisbaruch lishbor kol ha'mechitzos ha'mafsikos b'no levin kono. They says the purpose, whether it's a small thing or a good thing, that should be for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever you're going to do, you don't want to have, you know, I think of Hashem X amount of times, and this is just for myself. Even within leisure, so I really enjoy playing guitar, I enjoy playing golf, even within leisure, it's not always so simple to do, but it is important to try to think, you know, I'm doing this because I need a break, I have to be able to relax Hashem, in order for me to be able to like serve Hashem better. It's not something where, certainly myself, I'm not able to just like learn constantly all day and do that all day. But a person it's normal to have a certain amount of downtime, and a person's downtime could be reframed and repackaged to be able to use as a catalyst to come back to serve Hashem even better. And he says, we have to be able to lishpor kol mechitos mafsikos b'no levin kono, to break down all the barriers, all the walls that stand between you and Hashem, that there are certain things that are just obstacles. Sometimes when it comes to a relationship, to a person's marriage, there are things that one person's into or the other person's into, but that really make it hard for the relationship. It could be like you want to bond a certain time or you want to be able to have time together, and whether it's a show that like the person constantly has to watch, or whether it's sometimes it could be a job. It could be someone's job is just way too taxing and it's really unhealthy for one's marriage when you probably know of people, I mean, all of you are here right now, so you are not working at 9 o'clock at night, Baruch Hashem, but we all probably know of people that have jobs where sometimes they work till 10, 11, 12. And I can't imagine how much other components, their avodas Hashem or their marriage, if they're married or whatever it may be, certain things may suffer. I'm not saying chas v'shalom that there's no marriage that could be successful or something like that, but I think you understand that sometimes when you are focusing on one physical component or one entity of your life, then it's going to affect the other components. And so to think that we have to serve Hashem, you want to have that in mind, but there are other outlets that a person can use within that path to be able to serve Hashem. It says, "Hein hein akol nyanei achamrios v'atalei b'hem." These are all the physicality of the things, all the physicality that actually does break down a person's relationship with Hashem. And he says that a person, sometimes you want to be drawn towards Hashem. And Rabbi Yeruchim Lavovitz, in Das Torah, this is in the footnote here in the Sefer I'm using, where he explains that that's the whole idea behind when Rivka is pregnant with Yaakov and Esav. So many of us know the Rashi that discusses how she went to a Navi because she wasn't sure like what was going on. I believe the words are Vaisrosa to Abanim Bekirba. And it seems like the kids were going crazy inside her. And Rashi explains that when she walked by a base of Avodah Zarah, so Esav was trying to escape. When she walked by a base of Medrash, Yaakov was trying to escape. And the confusion that she had, according to some of the ideas explained, is that this kid is dual personality, split personality. I understand. Are you from or are you not from? Because you want to get out by both things. And then he says, oh, by the way, you have twins. And it's like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. That's why that pshat of there's two nations, Shnei Goyim V'Tnechu, Shnei Mu'lumim Mi'ayach Paridu, I believe, apologize. There happens to be an Isser to say a Pasuk Balpeh. Separate, okay, hope you forgive me. I also don't know if I'm not positive I said that in part right. But either way, that's what he says. He explains to her that, oh, by the way, this is Shem, I believe, who she went to. And Shem said, by the way, you have twins. And that made sense to her. But that idea of what they were doing inside Yaakov and Esav is this idea. Yaakov, it was like magnetic. Yaakov saw Beis Medrash, let me run towards it. Esav saw Beis Vazara, and he ran towards that. So, like, the drive towards wanting to get closer to Hashem, to want to break away all the barriers that stand in your way. He says, like, mamish, exactly like this idea where you are, like, breaking that, like, it's like iron, it's like magnetic, a magnetic force that's pulling you towards Hashem, like the Yaakov going towards Esav. Sorry, like Yaakov going towards the base Medrash. And anything that you think that you could reach, that could use as a means to get closer to Hashem, Yerdov Acharav, you should run after it, V'yechos bo v'lo yarpehu, grab a hold of it and don't loosen up on it. Because if there's something out there that could help us in our relationship with Hashem, that's what we should do. V'chol mashiu chalashov shehu minil azeh, and if there's something that's preventing you from serving Hashem better, Yivrach mimenu kivor mina ish. So then a person should move away from that, like running away from fire. Okay, inyan shenemar, as it says in Tilim, davka nafshi acharecha b'tamcha yiminecha, that my soul, it wants to cling towards you, and you're going to support me with your right hand. Kevan shebi aso le'olam, eina el atachles hazeh, the whole purpose of entering this world is for this purpose. Dahainu, haseg es hakirva azos b'malto, nafsho mikol mon'echa u'mafsideha, that in order to reach this closeness, to be able to escape from anything that's going to prevent us from this. And there's certain things that sometimes can be used for good, sometimes for bad. And when it comes to, let's say, for example, I'm sure there's a lot of movements to try to remove like cell phone usage in shuls. Sometimes certainly there are some shuls that don't do anything. But then minimally, like a lot of shuls will announce, like, please show off your cell phones, please silence your cell phones. Certain shuls have boxes in the hallway. So there's a lot of things that people do. Usually advisable to not daven from a cell phone, and a lot of those things are things that could create a distraction and a separate wall between you and Hashem, where it's, you're not able to focus and be able to put away those things that might prevent a certain relationship. And after you know, and after it's clear as day, this idea, these ideas, Yesh lanu lakor al pratov lifi madregoseha mitchilas hadavar v'yatzofa. A person has to explore every single detail of the levels that a person could go through in order to attain this, from the smallest or the first level to the most lofty of levels. Kemosh sidram Rabbi Pinchas ben Yara ben Mamram Shalo sheivenu kvar v'aktamaseinu, as he explains in his Akhtama, his whole Mahalik of perfecting a person's midos is based on a brayso from Pinchas ben Yair, and he explains as follows: Vehim, and these levels are has the hebrus about having vigilance and being careful, has rizus being quick to run after things that we should run after, hanakias being clean, hapricious removing, trying to remove the things that are bad for a person, removing certain things, precious, hatara purity, achasidus piety, hanava humility, yiras achet, fear of sin, v'akedusha, and holiness. Those are the levels. Those are the madrigos from the first, I don't want to say easiest to hardest per se, although certainly it goes in order of things that are most difficult to attain, but it's more of like first thing comes first, right? So let's say, for example, in Pirkei Avos says, sur meravi asei tov. If a person is just going to do a lot of asei tov, but they're eating not kosher and breaking Shabbos every week, I'm not saying it doesn't do anything, but it certainly is much more difficult to be a firm Jew. So it's sur meira, remove the bad, v'yaseh tov, and bring the good on. Right? If you think about Bnei Yisrael right now, we're Yisrael Mishpatim, right? So you just read that they got the Torah in last week's Parsha. So we know that when they left Mitzrayim, they're at the 49th level of Tumah, and then they had to get back up to Har Madriga. So they had to get like climb out of the negatives, negative 49, negative 48, negative 40, right? And then you get to a positive point, and then you're able to receive the Torah. So the Sur Meira and the Aseh Tov. And he concludes the first chapter, first parak, and he says, and now we are going to explain each of these levels, and here we go. And so these ideas are really the sefer. That first parak, which is something that the Vilna Gaon read many times, I think it was like 11 times before he left his house. You want to read that the first parak 11 times, because it really reinforces and informs a person of what they should do in this world. What is the world about? What Olam Haza is about? What Olam Haba is about? And the struggle, the challenges, and what a person has to overcome. And now we get into, once a person knows that about what is the tachlis, now it's how do we achieve that? What should a person work on? And I think one of the most important things for us learning this is to try to focus on the midah that we're going to be learning. So we'll be spending, let's say, be'erech, probably 2 weeks on zahiris, maybe more, so maybe 2 or 3 weeks, whatever it may be, and to think about zahiris in our lives as we go on. Maybe in the WhatsApp group every few days, whoever's controlling it, not looking at anyone, whoever's controlling it, maybe every few days to be like, remember your zahiris. Think about zahiris here and there. So we will start this, okay? So he says, Hine, inyan hazahiris, hu sheyeh ha'adam nizhar b'masav u'bin yanav. Zahiris is that a person should be very careful with the way they conduct themselves, with their actions, with their affairs. Kilomar, that's to say, misponein u'mifakeach amasev u'drachav. A person should really think and should monitor the ways of their life, the ways they're going to live. Hatovim heim imlo. Is this good for me, or is this not good for me? The vilti azov nafsho sakanas havadon. Because chas v'shalom, you don't want to risk damaging your soul. You don't want to do something that is not good for you. Chas v'chalila. For lo yilech b'mahalich hergelo ki iver kafila. And he says, you don't want to just walk like a blind person walking on aimlessly without any help. And there's two ideas behind that. The first is that if you're a blind person, you can't see any of the pitfalls, can't see the stumbling blocks that are around. And the second is that this person isn't asking for any help. And if you're blind, you're stumbling. So if at least if you have someone there to assist you, oh, by the way, there's a wall coming up and you're going to want to go to the right, then even if you're blind, you know, it helps you out of where to go. And he's going to be taking those two ideas and discussing, A, making sure to open your eyes to see where you're going in life. Don't just do something. think first, and B, have people there who are going to help you. Have people there who know what the world is like. Have the Talmidei Chachamim, and he uses a mashal, which we'll get to, about like people, if you've ever done like a corn maze or something, people who are standing on top who see the whole maze, who are able to guide you if you need help. So this is a very important thing, because there are plenty of times in life where people constantly act and then think. I can't tell you, on a number of occasions, on very official websites, I'll just use ESPN for example, where I've seen in the headers, I've seen typos. And this is by people who are paid thousands and thousands of dollars to do this, which are potentially edited, but I know, I remember, like, made mental notes that the times when it happened are like breaking news, like you have to happen. And of course, they want to release the breaking news right away. So they'll type out like a few lines of the story, and then they'll release it without having really proofread what they're typing out. Certainly, sometimes a person will put something out that isn't really verified. I'm not even going to like fake news. That's a whole separate malach. But here, just about being able to think before you do something, right? If we just think about how cautious we are with spending our money, you're not just going to want to like buy a random car. Like, you're going to want to make sure that you have something that's affordable, something that is durable, something that has a lot of reliability, and test drive it. Like, you're not going to want to just make a rash decision, be like, yeah, I spoke to my friend, he has a Camry, like, I'll get that too. Like, it's really something that most people try to think about. And of course, even more so, Kal Vachomer, when it comes to our relationship with Hashem, when it comes to working on our midos, when it comes to wanting to be a Jew. Like I said, a good example would have been, had I checked the box in the store in Walgreens, that would have been like, yeah, you know, I want to make sure to act first. I ended up buying it first, and then I was like, oh, by the way, let me probably check this. Oh, this is not kosher. Looks very good. It was a Nature Valley thing, but not like the classic Nature Valley bars, and that's why I've never seen it, because I've never seen a Jew actually eat this type. But we want to really be think first and act second.
Isn't Zvizut like the opposite of that?
It's a very good question. Zvizut is the opposite of that. Whereas Rizus, you want to run towards something. I would say the difference is that Zrizus comes when you've passed, that's why these steps are in order. After you know what you should do, then you should be Zariz to go get it. So let's say, and there could be a, sometimes more classic, meaning this, right now, this paragraph we discussed, is more of diving into the unknown. Is this good for me? Is this not good for me? You don't just want to dive in. But if it's, you know, I have to go to Minyan tomorrow, let me be Zariz to act towards something that I know that's good for me to do. So there's certain things that have passed this level of, yeah, this is good. When something is uncertain, that's when, yeah, you want to take a step back. Is this good? Is this not good? A number of occasions, there have been certain, I'll say politics, but things within the shul where I spoke, discussed with Rai Halpert. Not going to go into really details about them, but a number of examples where either he's asked me advice or sometimes I'd ask him advice, like, what do you think about this? And really is a sensitive question of which side is it, and you don't want to act. And sometimes, and we both discuss how sometimes he and I are maybe overthinking it because we're too sensitive of certain things, like, oh, this is really not a big deal, nobody really is bothered or cares. But sometimes you do want to make sure to be more cautious than not cautious. Continuing, this is something that basically intellect demands, that we have to really think things through. Because if a person knows that they're able to potentially save themselves from a pitfall for their neshama, from something that could be really damaging, how could a person just avert their eyes to something that will save them? Right? You wanna make sure that you have something good, something that will help you. There's nothing more lowly or even says lunacy than this, than just acting and doing something that you know is bad for you, or not thinking about something that could have potentially really bad ramifications. Like, no one right now, I hope, is thinking like, you know, let me just go to China for vacation. Like, that would not be the most wise thing. Like, I think it'll be okay. Like, yeah, percentage-wise, like, no, there's billions of people there. Only a few thousand or tens of thousands have it. Like, it wouldn't make sense. So he says, like, He said, like, that's lunacy, a person to think like that. But Osekin, he knew pachos mebehemos. He says something pretty intense. If you do that, you're lower than the animals. Meachayos asher betivam lishmaras atmam. V'alkein yevichuvi anusim mikol ma sheyero lehem heyoso mazik lehem. He says, because animals always want to make sure they're safe. An animal's not going to, like, if you see, let's say, a lot of movies, of course, obviously, the movies try to dramatize things. So if you have someone on a horse, at some point, there's going to be potentially going off a cliff, and the horse is going to, like, pull back, right? And they save themselves. It's the horse's natural reaction to want to save itself. It's not be like, let me just go. It's not a car where if you press the gas, it goes. It has a natural instinction to save themselves. So he says, if a person doesn't do that spiritually or physically for their bodies to wanting to be safe, then you're crazy. You're actually crazy. And a person who just aimlessly goes through the world, not thinking if there's a good thing, if there's a bad thing. This is like a blind person, walking on the riverbank. Because danger is imminent, and it is likely that his saving is very distant, that it's much more difficult for him to really survive a situation like that than for him to things to work out well. Ki ulam chason hashmira pnei ha'ivaron hativi o mepnei ha'ivaron haritzoni dehainu stimas ha'inayim bebechiras vechefetz echad hu. Because he says that basically a person who just is lacking this shmira because he's naturally blind, or because he willfully chooses to not look. So he says, like, these are one and the same. Like, it's the same outcome. Maybe, I think he's saying that there's no excuse. If a person is acting like they're blind, or I'll say, if a person is blind, of course, you know you need the help. So you're not just going to wander aimlessly and do something crazy. You're going to ask for help. Just like a person where, of course, you shouldn't just do that willfully, you're going to end up in the same place. And there's no excuse to say, like, eh, I can't do it, I'm blind. Like, obviously, the blind is just an analogy for doing something without thinking, for diving into a situation. You never would dive into a business deal just because someone calls you up. You want to really be able to think things through. And it's very important to try to take things slow in life. Try to think things through, and we're going to see the balance soon about the reasons of when you know what you're supposed to do, to be able to do that, and to do that with excitement, and to be able to run after that. But we certainly have this balance and these things that have to go hand in hand of being cautious, and then once a person passes the cautious state of knowing they want to do it, to be able to dive right in. I think we're going to conclude here, and I guess we'll keep you posted if there's going to be a shiur next week, or if the next one will be in 2 weeks.